Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Okay, here's another thing that young people don't have to worry about. We used to have to, on a commercial break, run to the restroom and then run back. Okay, you just did that, Matthew, but yeah, this is different. I'm talking about when you're watching your favorite sitcom. If you don't get back in time, they're not stopping the show. There's no DVR. And here's what else. Occasionally, your favorite show would be a great show that's just humming along and you can't wait for the resolution, and you get, at the end, to be continued. Which didn't mean that you just flipped to the next episode using your streaming device. It meant you had to wait a whole week before you could get it. It's like that marshmallow experiment they did at Stanford that taught kids, hey, could figure out if these kids have any ability to delay gratification. We had to wait a whole week. You don't have to wait for Jake Cornegay. He is the guy at the Westgate Superbook. Are you the guy? Is that what's on your business card, Jay?
Yeah, instead of the dude, it says the guy.
How's it going? What's Vegas like in this? Is it a lull this week before the Super Bowl, or what is sort of the atmosphere in the sports book?
Yeah, you get that initial rush once you post the game, and you get a lot of leftovers from the championship Sunday, so you still have a lot of fans, so everybody's playing it that Sunday night and Monday, and then we start working on the propositions. Everybody's really got their tail in gear here and just grinding out all these different types of bets that you can, you know, bet on the game. You know, it's just endless, and so we are right now finishing up our prop menu, which is going to be around 450 propositions, somewhere right around there. And I mean, we're continuing to add to it as we go along, but they are going to hit the betting board at 7 o'clock tonight. So we're trying to get gear up for that. And then we'll have that rush of prop wagering. And then we'll have that lull going into early next week. And then from about Wednesday night, Thursday on next week, it really starts to snowball from that point.
You guys, and I mean you specifically in the Westgate, how long have you been there? And give me sort of the progression of the prop bets in your time, because you get a lot of credit, I know, in Vegas as being one of the guys that sort of fostered this.
Well, I've been here for 15 years. I've been in Las Vegas for 31 years. And back in the early 90s, you know, we were going through a lot of Super Bowl blowouts. Every game was really boring, and especially the second half, no one really cared. At that time, most of the books were offering, you know, 20 to 30 different propositions. So because the games were so boring, we were trying to come up with new propositions that wouldn't really be settled until the second half, or even if it was a blowout, you know, still people still had, you know, some wagers to sweat out. And so We basically doubled the menu back then. It really went over very well. There was a lot of new bets, a lot of you know, things that people didn't even think about back then. I mean, we were the first ones to throw up a crossover sport where you take an event or a player from one league versus what's going to happen in the Super Bowl, and that was. Back then, it was like, who was going to score more points on Super Bowl weekend? Is it Michael Jordan or the 49ers? And then it really took off from that point. And we the following year, we put up like about 100 propositions. And our place is jam-packed. So yeah, a lot of people think we came up with the propositions, and that's not true. We just really expanded the menu and came up with a lot of different types of wagers for the Super Bowl, and now it represents 65% of the handle on Super Bowl Sunday. We will actually take more bets on the propositions than the game itself.
Jay Cornegay with us, Westgate Superbook. Zion Williamson is interesting. And so, like, as a crossover bet, if you were looking at, you know, total completed passes by Jimmy Garoppolo versus maybe, you know, total points by Zion, who happens to play the Houston Rockets that day, would that be a bet or something that you would put on the board?
Oh, yeah. He's up there. He's on the board a couple of times, you know, and it's actually those type of bets, the crossover bets. A lot of people like to talk about them, but they're really the ones that don't get a lot of attention. It's the more generic ones, like the most popular prop, the one prop that we take the most tickets on, the most handle, is the player to score the first touchdown. As simple as that is, a lot of people love that proposition. And I think it's very easy to understand, and they're usually getting odds, and they like to take shots at, you know, not necessarily the starters, but, you know, the third or fourth wide out where they're getting, you know, 30-1, 25-1, whatever it might be. Those type of propositions, like, you know, will there be a successful two-point conversion? You know, will there be a safety in the game? Will the game go into overtime? Those are the ones that actually get the most tickets on them. But I know a lot of people still like to talk about these crossover ones. In fact, this year, because we have the Las Vegas Raiders now, we have, like, we have the Raiders in five different propositions. For example, total points scored by the Las Vegas Raiders in the 2020 season versus how many passing yards by Mahomes.
Well,
it just goes on, John. It goes on and on. We could go on and on forever, and because there's just no limit to what you can make, you know, bets on. But we just run out of time. We got to get them up on the board, ready to go, and make sure we have all the disclaimers and there's no gray area. So we want to make sure everybody knows what they're betting into.
So how many total do you think you'll have tonight when you post?
It's approaching about 450. I mean, we might get as high as 460, somewhere around the, so 460-ish, somewhere right around there.
You got a prop for the Super Bowl over-under length? The national anthem?
Oh, national anthem? No, you know, we you know, you would only find that in unregulated sports books because there's no official score, okay? And there has been some controversy over the years because, you know, whether the singer is starting to hum a little bit or, you know, do you cut it off on the last note, the beginning of the last note, or how long she holds the last note? And it's pretty close. And, you know, we know that, you know, there's rehearsals and, you know, people are in, you know, sound booths and rehearsing. They kind of know that kind of stuff. So that, you know, like what color Gatorade? Nope. You know, somebody knows that. We can't post that. We can't post the national anthem. We can't post, you know, how many times they're going to say Tom Brady or, you know, Lynn Dawson or any of those type of propositions. They actually, for the most part, the result has to be official, and that means that it usually has to be in the box score, you know, some way, versus, some of the other, you know, basketball games, soccer games, you know, golf, whatever. There's official scores coming from those other events. So whatever has an official score or stat, we can put something on that. Otherwise, it's not going to be found in Nevada.
How about at the beginning of the game? I kind of think it's going to be a slow starting game, the Niners defense. We might not get a score for a while. Is there a time in which you say, will there be a score in the first blank number of minutes?
Yes.
What's that? What's that time right now?
You know what I should do to you? I should just say yes before you even finish the question. Because we got it all. It's let's see, you know, I'm going to say probably, well, the prop is, will there be a score in the first 6.5 minutes of the game?
No, there won't be.
Okay. The no is probably a slight favorite, but it's really close to a pick 'em.
It's going to be a no, Jay. It's going to be a no.
We open them up, John, at 7 o'clock tonight.
I'll be there. The spread, as it opened, surprised me. I thought The Niners might be a slight favorite. I'm a Niner fan, though. I'm probably really biased. Explain how you think the sports books arrived at the Chiefs minus 1.5.
Well, we open pick ourselves, and we think a lot of the Niners and how physical they are and how they're able to run the ball. Certainly have a great defense. But, you know, Super Bowl betting patterns are pretty consistent. And the general public really rule the roost, so to speak, meaning that this is the one event that is really dominated by recreational, just general public action. And they tend to migrate to the team that has the perceived better quarterback or the quarterback with more flash, you know. And obviously, you know, that's Mahomes. You know, Mahomes is just incredible, and he's a lot of fun to watch. Certainly hate to bet against that guy, but that's what's I think that's the big attraction right now, which we've seen in past years. And that's why we're seeing about 75% right now of the tickets on the Chiefs. So they've got the majority of the support right now, but we know that there's going to be plenty of San Francisco support as we get closer to Super Bowl weekend.
Those larger bets that come in and sort of the sharps, as you call the guys that not the public money, does that usually come in late, or are they just looking for an opportunity in the line?
Well, it comes in early as the market settles in on a number. You know, there was some, you know, not only the public, you know, was betting the Chiefs early, but there was some sharp money as well on the Chiefs. But as we, you know, moved forward and the market was like 1.5, once it got to 1.5, you started seeing some sharp play come in on San Francisco. In fact, like I'm looking at the market right now, and it's probably about 80-85% ones out there, meaning Kansas City -1, as most of those 1.5 disappeared. But I think once we get to next weekend, you know, the public's going to get a hold of it. I think that you're going to see most of the tickets on Kansas City, but don't be surprised as the bigger bets will come in on San Francisco.
Jay Cornegay with us, Westgate Superbook. We've got the legalization of sports wagering in Oregon. No college games available. That frustrates people. I think I asked you the last time sort of, you know, what you thought of it all, but do you see any impact? Do people talk about it, or do you find that interest in the state of Oregon results in more people being interested in wagering? And, hey, here's a trip to Vegas. Let's go to the Westgate.
Yeah, we've seen that over the last year and a half now, and we make jokes, and you know, I'll have to tell you some of those jokes off the air, but some of these guys, you know, they're so cute at this age, you know, they come into town and they're like, hey, you know, Jay, we decided to make a trip out here now that it's legal, you know, and I'm like, well, guys, it's been legal, you know, for 50 years out here, so it takes maybe a little bit away, you know, some handle, you know, you go back and you take a look at these guys that there wasn't that many guys that came out to Vegas just to make sports bets. They could make sports bets and everybody knows it, you know, from their hometown, you know, there's definitely a lot of different channels that they can use to do so. And, but they come out here for these special events, you know, and you know, I think 5 out of the 6 biggest weekends in Las Vegas revolve around a sporting event. And so they would come out here and enjoy everything Las Vegas has to offer, plus, you know, play sports. So I think as it moves along, I think we're going to reach new people. I think there's a whole new demographic out there that hasn't used those illegal channels and that they, you know, they'll find themselves enjoying sports betting that eventually that they're going to want to come to Las Vegas for, you know, the Super Bowl or March Madness or a big fight, whatever it might be, because it's, as you know, it's very difficult to emulate what we do here.
Is that city ready for the Raiders? I mean, because I know hockey was phenomenal. It was a big success. Is the infrastructure there? And by the way, I'm coming for the Pac-12 men's and women's tournament, so I'll stop in and say hi.
Oh, great. Yeah, we're ready. Believe me. It's tremendous. There's a lot of buzz about it. And I know that they sold out all of their PFLs, which were, John, by the way, they're going for like, you know, well, we looked at the like club level in the corner of the end zone, and they're like $25K each. All right. It's ridiculous. They sold out of those things. We expect, you know, it's only like 8 home games, so it's not that big a deal. We know the Raiders are a very regional team. They're going to have a lot of fans from California come here, Arizona, obviously here. When the Raiders had success a few years back, right before Carr got hurt, you know, going into the playoffs, that was the biggest bet game every single weekend. And that was well before their announcement that they were coming here. So, you know, it's going to be a crazy scene over there. I mean, the stadium looks fantastic. I can't wait to get in there and check it all out. Not to mention, you know, you mentioned the Pac-12 championship has already been moved to Las Vegas.
Yep.
It'll be held here at Allegiant, and we expect some others, and we expect our first Super Bowl by 2025.
It'll be a lot of fun. Hey, I appreciate, I know you're busy. I know you guys are trying to get those prop bets up, and I'll check your app, and I'll check it out when you get that stuff up posted tonight, and I'll see you in March for the men's and women's basketball Pac-12 tournaments too. So Jay, thank you for making time, man.
All right, John, have a good one.
All right, there he is, Jay Cornegay, king of the props, Westgate Superbook. Should have asked him what his favorite sitcom was. Could have pushed odds on it. Could have been like, you know, Seinfeld, Even Money, The Office, 2-1. If Jay Cornegay mentioned more than one sitcom in his answer, you get 2.5-1. If he says, I can't decide between, and then he gives you more than one. See, we could put all kinds of prop bets together. If his prop bet is a sports-related sitcom, if he mentions an actor while talking about the sitcom, so many things, so many prop bets. Leave it here. You got the bald-faced truth. ChelseaAudioVideo.com is their website. That makes sense. It also makes sense that they have been doing audio and video solutions forever, generations in the Portland metropolitan area. That's a company that evolves. They are now knee-deep in home automation. And I know this because we walk through the doors. My wife is not somebody who I could just tell her, hey, they've got home automation. You know, they've got blinds that open and close. They have light switches that you can control sort of a scene in your house with one button. She wouldn't buy that. Okay? She needs to see it. And we went in, and I'm glad we went into their showroom. And what I got was, I didn't know they were in the home security business, really, because they have security cameras that are like the best security cameras. And immediately I gravitated towards that, and I was like, we need this. I've been jimmy-jacking around with these security cameras that I bought, like the Canary and all these other security cameras that are all sort of web-based, hit and miss. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. And I said, I want these. And my wife gravitated towards like the speakers that are embedded in the walls that you can't see. And hey, the ability to touch a button. She's got her hands full. She's got two little kids. Push a button and suddenly a pathway through the house is lit up. Lock and unlock doors. You can do it all. Chelsea Audio Video can help you. Go into their showroom or start by going to their website right now. ChelseaAudioVideo.com. Really easy to do. Great company. Been a great show today. I thought we had a lot of lively discussion. I didn't get to everything that I wanted to talk about. I had a whole bunch of other things I wanted to talk about. The doomsday clock. We didn't even get to talk about the doomsday clock. There's like 90 seconds to midnight right now on the doomsday clock.
We still have like 3 minutes left.
3 minutes to talk about the 90 seconds? So apparently we're closer to the destruction of the planet Earth than we've ever been. Is this concerning you guys? This doomsday stuff.
I think these people look for reasons to scare other people. I think there's enough in your life already to be scared of than like nuclear destruction.
I'm interested in how patient they are in moving that clock, because I would have moved it years ago. I'd have been like, all right, it's midnight. What are we going to do about it? But they seem to be inching it towards, because they, like, you know. And this is the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists who control this. They move the hands of their symbolic doomsday clock closer to midnight, indicating the likeliness of a human-caused apocalypse. They're saying we are 100 seconds to midnight, the closest we've been, and the first time we've been within 2 minutes. Are you worried about this?
Not really.
See?
It's just the likelihood. It's not actual, like, nuclear war. Mm-hmm. So how reliable is it, really?
They're saying that the attitude that you guys just reflected, you've sort of normalized the idea that we're nearing our end and we're not that worried about it.
Well, we had the Mayan calendar thing. We had the rapture was coming. We've lived through so many things that just didn't happen, and we're going, okay, you can tell us.
Do you guys remember when it turned to year 2000?
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
You don't. No.
You're too young.
I was just going into kindergarten.
It was
going
to be horrible. That happened and you were in kindergarten?
Yeah.
That feels like it just happened like 3 years ago.
I was in first grade.
Yeah. Okay, I was working at a newspaper. I remember when it happened. Everybody braced. We counted down. We were like, it's 30 seconds. And, you know, the clocks are all going to go to zero. Nobody knew. You know, and nobody understood what was going to happen. We did not prepare for this. Oh, we have only 30.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.